from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's the penultimate game week of the FPL season. Who is picking up the points and who is picking your pockets? We look through all the doublers and singlers in this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello, happy Friday. This week's pod coming to you a little bit later this week because of the later deadline of Sunday and the small matter of Thursday's North London derby, which we just had to react to. Just a warning, that may mean that one of our panellists might not be in the best mood today. So let's check in with them. Firstly, it's Mr. Arsenal, French football expert, Julien Laron. Oh, Jules.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone. It just was not meant to be. Well done to Spurs. They played well. They were aggressive. Referee played a big part, but you can't make mistakes in games like that, like Arsenal did. You obviously invite the referee to make big calls. So it makes it even more interesting and fantastic for the last two games that there's just 1 point between them two now.
Yes, for us as neutrals, it certainly is interesting in that race for the top four. Also joining us today, former Premier League forward, Dean Ashton. Dean, good to have you back.
Thank you very much. And I was very much... after an Arsenal win and points for certain players, I did not want to see exactly what happened. That was a disaster for me and my mini leagues.
And from FPL Black Box, it's Az Phillips. And Az, shall we get it out of the way? I am not in a good mood with you, am I?
No, I'm in the doghouse, aren't I? Bit of bad advice going into the deadline. Yeah, sorry about that. But if it helps, I had a stinking week, so I'm already feeling bad.
Come on, tell the listeners, what was that bad advice you gave me?
I said that you didn't need to move heaven and earth for a certain Belgian midfielder from Manchester City, didn't I? And he went and scored four goals.
I had a little panic before the deadline, and sometimes I run things past Az because he has had such a brilliant season. And he said, you've got Phil Foden, you don't need to worry, you're panicking. He did say, don't get angry at me if he goes mad. Well, right. Kevin De Bruyne is the headline from Double Game Week 36 as we start our roundup. Four goals and 30 points for him, helping it be a bumper game week for some. 225 was the highest standalone score this game week. He was the top scorer as Manchester City beat Newcastle 5-0 and Wolves 5-1. Now, myself and Az didn't quite see it coming. Well, maybe I did and I was just talked out of it, but we didn't have him regardless. But Julien, you did.
Oh, no, I didn't. I just wanted to make fun of Az and you, to be fair. So I make a joke. I just made a joke in the
you completely dumb.
Because, you know, I panicked a bit and then I always follow what Az says. So I didn't bring him in.
Brilliant. Well, just when I thought Az was my least favourite panellist, Jules is coming in with a late entry there. Jules, you didn't have him, but a brilliant week for De Bruyne and a brilliant week for managers that did have him.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, he didn't really look himself in that second leg Champions League semi-final away in Madrid at the Bernabeu against Real Madrid. I think we all kind of assumed that he had fitness issues, and I think he still probably has that ankle. But yet he's still capable of putting out games like that where he's almost unplayable. You know, his movement was great. The finishing right foot, left foot was great. He could have had a fifth goal, maybe even a sixth one. So in that kind of form, and when you play against a team like Wolves who we're quite open, let's be honest here. And that's what happens towards the end of the season. You play games where teams are more open than they would normally be earlier in the season. Then that plays obviously into City's hands.
Raheem Sterling also got 28 points. Any other week, that would be enough to be top scorer. One of the other big stories this week was their title rival slipping up. Liverpool drew with Spurs, but then beat Aston Villa. Mo Salah blanked. Andrew Robertson missed Tuesday completely. But it was Luis Diaz, the man to have, 15 points for him. And Dean, not only did you have him, but you captained him too. You brought him in as part of a 16-point hit. Yes, 16 points. But it paid off, didn't it?
It did, because I'm certainly in last chance saloon. You know, I'm probably like a lot of FPL players, which is, you know, a podium finish in my mini league was a distant dream, and that has gone. I am now fighting for position with certain players in my mini league, and I cannot lose. And I'm at that point now where I had to take that chance. It was my only chip left. I put everything into it. I knew I would take a hit, but I was thinking, because there's a double game week, if I get them players in, then the hit that I take with the 4 points is the two points they will get for playing. So then anything after that would be a bonus. And I would like to say Diaz was a masterstroke, but I couldn't afford Salah in the way that I was switching things up. So actually, it was a bit fortunate. But at the same time, I picked Diaz over maybe other midfielders in the game, and it just so happened to pay off. So obviously, I'm absolutely delighted, and it's actually given me a chance against those players in my mini league now with the last few games, despite maybe not being able to use chips and things like that where maybe other people are able to.
Yeah, it does feel like it was a week of big swings, big players getting big points to help certain people up their mini leagues. I'm pleased to hear that you benefited, Dean. Now, there were also goals for the most bought player of the game week, Eddie Nketiah. 3 goals for Romelu Lukaku. Son continued his brilliant form, 20 points for him. But as before we move on, a word of encouragement for those managers who did this week have a frustrating one, because you said before you kind of fall into that category.
Yeah, I mean, this season in general has been a very strange season. There's been some weeks where there's been huge hauls for certain players and, you know, 50-50 decisions have gone one way for some people and the other way for other people, and people have really struggled. I've never known a week like this week with people getting 200 plus points. Half that and you've got kind of Dean Ashton's score, half that again and you've got my score. So I've got 65 points with a 4-point hit. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. I didn't target Chelsea players because I was worried about rotation. I didn't target De Bruyne because I was worried about fitness, like Julian said. Robertson didn't play. None of my players performed. It was just a brutal week. And, you know, people have made up 100 points on me in certain mini leagues.
Oh.
But you've got to judge a decision, right? And I think it was a risk going for certain players who have done well. You know, Laporte getting a stab in from a fumble Dubravka shot. You know, if you didn't go for him or didn't have him, you know, some of the point swings were huge. So there's a lot of luck involved this week, but fair play to anyone who did well. But if you didn't do well, like me, don't worry about it too much and just kick on for next week.
Yeah, I'm sure you aren't the only one that struggled a little bit this week. Well, a quick check in with the mini league, which tells us we have a new leader at the top. Congratulations to the Team Islanders, who soared to number one after scoring 175 points. Also, big credit to Curious Jorginho, who is our top scorer in the top 10 with a massive 189 points. I'm very envious. Okay, so game week 37 is another double with 5 teams playing twice. Let's preview it in full now. Double Game Week 37 gets underway on Sunday. The deadline is a slightly different time of 10:30 UK time on that Sunday because Liverpool take on Chelsea in the FA Cup final on Saturday. So the Premier League resumes Sunday with Spurs versus Burnley. Spurs now just a point behind Arsenal in the top 4 race. Then we have 5 matches at 2 p.m. with Manchester City's trip to West Ham amongst them. Everton continue their quest to stay up at 4:30 p.m. UK time against Brentford on Monday night. Newcastle take on Arsenal. The Gunners really need to win this one. They've won their last 8 meetings with the Magpies in all competitions. On Tuesday, Southampton against Liverpool. Saints have won just 1 in their last 10. What a huge game that is in the title race. And game week 37 concludes on Thursday with 3 matches, including all of those sides that double. The full schedule is available at fantasy.premierleague.com. So the teams that double in this game week are Everton, Leicester, Aston Villa, Crystal Palace and Burnley. Before we look at them in detail, let's just discuss chip usage. Jules, you've got your triple captain. Az has got his bench boost. Dean doesn't have any chips left. Jules, you're going to be using that triple captain?
Yeah, I will on Richarlison because they've got 2 home games. I have to say, I thought he would come into this game week in better form. I mean, his numbers are still decent, but there's not much return there. So I'm hoping that he's just kept all the goals that he has in him, the Brazilian, for this double game we're coming.
Didn't get past the mighty Watford on Wednesday night.
I could not believe that, to be fair.
Neither could I, to be honest. As for you, are you going to be boosting that bench?
The bench will be boosted, yes. Although the players on it don't inspire a huge amount of confidence, I will admit.
Who's on that bench?
Kevin De Bruyne.
Tell us.
Do I have to tell you? Is that really?
Yes, you do, because you slammed my bench last week.
Well, my bench currently is Dubravka, Huang of Wolves, Connor Roberts of Burnley, and Bruno Gutierrez of Newcastle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so one double game weeker there.
Oh, yeah.
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 I just like the short and sharp answers from Az. It's the most unenthusiastic I've heard someone about using a chip.
It's a funny chip, the Bench Boost. It's not my favourite one. It's difficult. You don't want to spend too many transfers sorting your bench out, because that means you're kind of understrengthening your 11 of your better players. I want to be targeting players from City, players from the double game week, and not moving, you know, players like Hwang to another 5.5 million forward or Connor Roberts to another 4.4. So I don't know how it's got to this point in which I've still got it and I'm having to use it with these four, but maybe they'll be the A team and they'll come through for me.
Yes, we'll find out. A lot of people will be free hitting this week, Dean. Do you think it's a good week to free hit? If you had that chip available, would you be tempted?
Oh, Kelly, I wish I had it. Honestly, I feel a little bit sorry for myself and I'm a little bit annoyed with the game, because that extra free hit that came in during when games were being cancelled still with COVID, I'd already used one of mine. So people who hadn't then had two to use going into the latter stages of the season. So I feel like I've been hard done by and I've missed out on this extra free hit that I would use this game week, when I know there's players in my mini leagues that have got them. So it's about survival. It's about, I have to get my transfers right. The two or maybe three transfers that I'm going to make, they have to be absolutely spot on, or that could be the end for me.
I just love how seriously Dean takes this. It's as if we're talking about him preparing for a Premier League game in the prime of his career. These serious decisions. You'd make a brilliant manager.
The mini league means as much as staying up when he was playing. You know, it's like, this is it.
Let's talk about some of these double teams that will undoubtedly be targeted then, Jules. Which team that doubles stands out to you with their fixtures in this game week?
I think Everton, like we said, because things are a bit better, let's be honest. You think there's a bit more confidence, there's a bit more momentum, and there's players there that you could easily target. I mean, Richarlison is an obvious one, of course, because, you know, if their goals come in, it should be through him, really. He will be. Had a couple of decent games. You can go for Pickford in goal. You can go for Gordon, who seems to be the one really with a creative touch in that team. But the problem is with Everton this season, and even since Lampard arrived, you just never know, really, as we saw against Watford, when we saw, okay, they could go there and a win there would almost not guaranteed completely staying up, but pretty much so. And yet they go and it's a 0-0 draw and it's not very good. So I would go for Everton players, but I can see why people are still a bit sceptical, maybe.
Yeah, it's Brentford and Crystal Palace at home in game week 37, and they've been so good at Goodison Park, haven't they? What about in goal, though, Az? Because Jordan Pickford has 22 points in his last three appearances. Is he the standout goalkeeper for this game week?
He is, to the point in which I've had my worst game week of the season, and I've already made a transfer, which is Aaron Ramsdale out and Jordan Pickford coming in, purely to target those two home fixtures. Like Julian said, they've been great at home. I mean, even in the last double game week, you know, two away games, he makes six saves against Leicester, gets a couple of bonus, gets 6 points in that, and then a clean sheet against Watford. So 12 points for sort of early adopters of Pickford in two away games, in which they've been really poor in. So you've got to think, with two decent-looking home games against teams already safe, he could rack up the points again. So yeah, he's definitely my goalkeeper of choice.
Yeah, I think he's going to be very popular this game week indeed, in the form of his life, isn't he? What about Anthony Gordon? Because he's only 4.7 million. A lot of people have him on their bench. He looked bright against Watford, I thought, but didn't provide returns. But at his price point, Dean, he's a brilliant asset, isn't he?
He is, and especially at home, his home form's been excellent. And I think, again, with his set-piece delivery, I think, it could be the extra points you need. And at that price, again, it's a great option to then be able to spend bigger, maybe on the single game week players that you might be looking at. I went with Richarlison this game week just gone, and I was trusting that over the four games he would deliver a good points haul. So for me, that's where I'm laying all my faith.
Yeah, so Anthony Gordon will be an enabler that a lot of people will have. But let's just go back to Jordan Pickford and the Everton defence. Three clean sheets from their last four home games. Would you potentially look at bringing in an Everton defender as well as Jordan Pickford as well? Because I know there's some interest there.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think Mason Holgate at 4.2 million is a really good call for that. He even scored the other day. Not that he's going to score regularly, but on set pieces, there's a threat from him. You can go for, I mean, Godfrey or Keane or Coleman or all of that. But I think of all of them, I think Holgate is probably the one that has the more chances to deliver for the price. I mean, in terms of value for money, I think he's very, very interesting.
What about Myalenko? As is he one that we should maybe be considering?
Yeah, I think he's probably the one that I'd go for. I've got the goal against Leicester and the clean sheet against Watford, so a nice haul for him. He missed a great chance against Chelsea as well, but he's getting forward quite a lot. He seems to be sort of getting into those kind of attacking areas. And I always like those kind of full-back, wing-back positions because it's very hard to predict when a kind of centre-back's going to score. But Mykolenko, I think, looks the most likely to deliver some attacking returns.
Okay, let's move on then. Dean, when you look at those fixtures, which other team with a double game week stands out to you? Which team should managers be targeting if maybe they're on a free hit or if they're looking to strengthen for this game week?
I think Leicester's interesting. I think I would always prefer to see Leicester away from home. I think Kasper Schmeichel, has got the potential for save points against Chelsea, who, let's be honest, haven't been superb towards the end of the season. And Jamie Vardy coming back and scoring those two goals against Norwich, I think, you know, he's only started 17 times, but he scored 12 goals. And again, I like his performances away from home. He's brilliant against the top sides as well. He's got one of the best records. And I've already got James Maddison as well, who's been in fantastic form as well, albeit there are some rotational issues. But I think I'm going to be really looking at Jamie Vardy as a real possibility to come in for me and putting all my hope with him.
When we look at Leicester's two fixtures, Dean's highlighted the Chelsea game there, but Jules, surely managers, and I can say this, will be looking at the trip to Watford on Sunday, already relegated, lots of players out in midweek, Jamie Vardy coming back, Brendan Rodgers telling a lot of them that there's going to be a big shake-up in this summer. So some of them may be playing for their Leicester careers. Surely anyone that's bringing in Leicester players is looking at Sunday.
Yeah, completely. I agree with you. And even against Chelsea, this is not a fantastic Chelsea team that would have played, obviously, the FA Cup final, so just before that. So there's interest there. I think Maddison is a must-have, I really do, even if he didn't play at the weekend, but he's in great form. I think Vardy is an interesting one. He's still a bit expensive for me, and I'm still not sure how fit he really is, but why not? Harvey Barnes can potentially have good returns too. So there's a lot of interesting Leicester players if you've got the budget for it.
As it's interesting there, Jules saying Maddison is must-have. There's a few options in that midfield, isn't there? Maddison and Barnes both started and provided attacking returns against Norwich. Kean and Dewsbury-Hall started both. Is Maddison the standout option for you in that midfield?
He is for me. I mean, I had Barnes going into this week and I decided to sell him just because I'm just not convinced about his minutes. He's been in and out of the team. His form has been really patchy. He started in that kind of like last Europa Conference League game and then was subbed at half-time and Rodgers changed the system. And I think if he goes with two up top, if Iheanacho comes in, I think that means Barnes drops out. So he's just too much of a risk for me to bring in. I think Maddison's the one for me, you know, on the set pieces, getting forward more. It's, you know, central, like, core of the attacking, like, Leicester side. So yeah, definitely agree that he's the one for me. And I think he's a good buy for people because in 38 as well, looking ahead, they've got Southampton at home. Now, Southampton away from home have just completely capitulated in the last few weeks. So you've got a double game week, good game against Watford. You know, the Chelsea game is a bit of a bonus and then a great game against Southampton. So yeah, really like that move.
Just quickly before we move on, Dean, any interest in the Leicester defence? You don't really know who's going to play there and they haven't exactly been keeping too many clean sheets.
No, and that's, I would always err on the side of the attacking intent from Leicester because defensively they haven't been great and I think their games could be high scoring but not maybe in favour of a Schmeichel. I think there's better options. The only other one I would like to mention is Wilf Zaha because they've got those two away games. You know, he's got 7 goals from his last 10 and 6 of those in his last 7 away games and he's on penalty. So he's the other player that I think I'll be looking to try and bring in. And again, a real captaincy possibility for me.
I like that you've done that because that's moved us on very nicely to Crystal Palace, who I wanted to talk about next. Home games, as you said, against Aston Villa and Everton. Zaha has been in brilliant form. Is he someone that managers should seriously be considering at this point, Az?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's a perfect kind of free hit player as well because he's massively flying under the radar. His ownership is really, really low. He's being bought in by quite a few people now. I think people are starting to realise the appeal. And obviously, he scored the goal against Watford, got 11 points in that. He's on penalties. Vieira's hinted that he could play kind of central striker as well and kind of test him out there. And there's lots of rotation with Mateta and Edouard and Benteke and Ayew and Elise. They've got so many attacking options, but Zaha's the one that, you know, always plays. So he's definitely the attacking option of choice. And it's two good looking games, I think. I think, you know, Villa and Everton, they're both good at home, but they're both capable of conceding goals. And I think if Palace score, it's going to be through Zaha.
Yeah, there's quite a few other options in that Palace midfield. We know how good Conor Gallagher was earlier in the season. Michael Olise, Eze's back now as well. Would you go for any of them, Jules, or is it just Zaha or no one really?
No, yeah, Zaha, but you might not be able to afford him like me probably. So I looked at Eze and I really like it. He's been obviously injured a lot the first half of the season. And now you can see already that his confidence and the mojo is back. He's, you know, he's in good form. I'm not sure. I think we can keep it in the back of our mind and look at those Crystal Palace players, but I'm not sure it will be my priority.
Okay, that's three of the five teams that double covered off. Aston Villa are another one of them. They've got a really nice looking double. Two home fixtures against Crystal Palace and Burnley. And Dean, there's quite a few options from Steven Gerrard's side that we could maybe look at, isn't there?
There is, yes. Obviously, the news of Coutinho signing permanently as well, whether that frees him up to get back to the form that he showed when he first came to the club. The big issue for me is Watkins has got a knock. Is that going to affect him? Is he going to miss one of the games? I've got him. Do I bring him in for Danny Ings, who's scored in his last four against his former club, Burnley? That's the big dilemma for me, is just that forward line. I've got Matty Cash anyway, who I brought in last week. So that's what I'm going to have to consider, and I'll be looking carefully at the manager's interview before the game as to what sort of fitness state Watkins is in.
As I don't like to say it, because I believe that every team has something to play for, but on paper they aren't fighting for any European places or anything like that. So does that concern you a little bit in the attacking areas?
It doesn't really too much. I mean, look at Watford, for example. I mean, Watford's, you know, put out very much a second string side, already relegated. Everton with everything to play for, desperate for points, and they labour to a 0-0 draw. So I think you can put too much stock in that. I'm not worried about that. Gerrard is there. He's, you know, rebuilding this kind of team in his image. The players there. I mean, Ings, for example, is someone who hasn't really featured much under Gerrard and will be desperate to kind of prove that he deserves a spot in his plans going forward. Ings looks great. I mean, of all forwards over the last six game weeks, a minutes per expected goal involvement non-penalty of 117.4 is third best, below just Jesus and Antonio. He's having a shot every 21 minutes, a shot in the box every 23 minutes. That's like among the league best. So Ings is finally finding some form, and why, you know, Aston Villa paid all that money to sign him. He's much better alongside Watkins. He likes to play with this kind of like busy strike partner alongside him. I remember him with like Shane Long at Southampton. So yeah, I think if Watkins is out, I think it dents Ings as well. Hopefully Watkins is fit, and then you can pick either of them. Both good options.
If Watkins isn't fit though, would you keep away from both of them then?
I think I would probably still go for Ings if I was on a free hit. But the trouble with bringing him in is that in 38, you've then got Man City away. So you don't really want to be playing your strikers in that game. Although at the same time, Man City don't seem to have any centre-backs at the moment. So maybe it isn't as terrible a buy as I would. I would go for Ings regardless. I think he's the better option of the two, given his recent form and the injury doubt around Watkins.
Okay, so do keep an eye out for Steven Gerrard's press conference to see if he does give us any inkling as to whether Ollie Watkins is going to be fit. What about the fullbacks though? Because there's going to be a lot of interest, isn't there, Dean, in Matty Cash, and now Luca Dina's back fit as well. Would you be looking at either of those? And if so, which one stands out to you?
I mean, both equally. If you watch Villa, that's basically where the basis of the way that Steven Gerrard likes to play is. At times they can both be really, really high, and he allows Douglas Luiz to then sit alongside the two centre-backs. So I think both are great options. And actually, if you've got a free hit, which I haven't, then I would consider to bringing them both in, because, you know, Villa are among the Premier League's lowest numbers for conceding both shots on target and expected goals, and obviously the potential for assists and goals from both of them. If you think Dina likely to take free kicks from one side, and Cash has looked like a goal threat all season, so it could be a real option to have both if you've got the chip availability.
I can't believe I'm going to come to Jules with this question, given the nationality of Luka Dina. Is he the better option out of those two? If managers could only bring in one of Matty Cash or Dina, who do they go
100%.
For? 100%! Take those blue, white and red spectacles off.
I still think he's not his best yet, Dean. I think there's still... I think the season has been a bit difficult with injuries, with form that he'd been so good before. There was obviously the move to Villa, all of that. So I still think he can do better. But between the two, I've got him in my team already, and I would keep him and I would go for him ahead of Cash. There's not much in between them two, but I still think he's a better player.
As would you like to chip in with a less biased view on that debate?
What do you mean biased?
I think Dean's the one to go for. I mean, he's creating a chance every 30 minutes, which is the best of all defenders over the last six game weeks. Cash, in comparison, 180 minutes, so one chance every two matches, in theory. So there's, you know, in terms of chance creation, there's massively points towards Dina. I can't quite believe that he's back. I remember Gerrard saying that his injury would keep him out, you know, for a while. So I still wonder if maybe, you know, that might be a bit of a concern. They've played a lot of games. He's playing them all. I wonder if maybe he could miss one of them. That's my only real concern. But I think if you're comfortable with the fact that he's going to play, he would edge it for me over Cash.
Wow. You know, he must be the right person if Az is agreeing with Jules over a Frenchman into his FPL team.
He's a bit French too himself, so, you know, it's fine.
Now on to the final team that double in this game week is Burnley, and they do love a double. It's their sixth double game week of the season, but it does look quite tricky on paper, this one. Tottenham and Aston Villa, both away from home. Is there any interest, Dean Ashton, in Mike Jackson's men?
Well, it's interesting. I looked at sort of what the difference was between the team under Mike Jackson and the team under Dyche, and it's actually changed dramatically, but more in the attacking sense, I would say, than defensively. So if I was looking at Burnley players, I would seriously consider the attacking options. Their XG has risen from 1.05 to 1.97, and their shot count is up from 10.2 to 14. So he's giving the players more freedom to get forward. They're keeping the ball more and they look more of a goal threat. And Dwight McNeil's an interesting one for me. He's been poor all season. If you're looking at someone as a real differential, he's 5.5 million and his ball carries are up 0.4 per game. And he's playing on that right-hand side, cutting in on his left foot. He's just maybe someone to think about that I'm sure not many people would. But he's been in good form since the new manager's taken over, and they look a slightly different side. Maybe not so much against Tottenham, but certainly in the other game going forward. So that could be an option.
Yeah, I like that. Dwight McNeil, and we'll all be looking for differentials in this game week as well. And don't forget, everyone, Dean Ashton went for a bit of a differential last week with Luis Diaz, and look what happened. So maybe we should be listening to him. He's just raised his eyebrows on Zoom as if to say, yeah, I did. No biggie. Shame we can't see that, but I'm telling the listeners. Jules, Dwight McNeil is someone that Dean suggested. What about Nick Pope? He returned double digits in three of Burnley's five game weeks so far, the double game weeks, I should say. Is he the best Burnley asset to go for, or is it the fact that Burnley haven't exactly been not conceding goals this season and the fact they've got defensive injuries building up that maybe this is not the week to go for him?
Yeah, I think I like him, and I think there's point for saves coming up in those two away games for sure. But I agree with Dino in the sense that I think he's going forward that maybe your best options are McNeil, of course. I think Maxwell Cornet, who returned 6 points in the last game, had a bit of a dip before that, a few niggles too, but I think potentially can be, remember at the start, he had an incredible 6 weeks or something where he looked like Leo Messi pretty much. So I don't know if he can find that kind of form again, but certainly I think there's potential, certainly under Mike Jackson, because Cornet should be one to benefit a bit like McNeil and maybe Weghorst to another extent of this sort of new freedom going forward with the ball, taking more risk, more chances. So I think Cornet, who's only owned by less than 1% of the players. So I think in terms of differential that we were talking about, Cornet as well, it could be very interesting.
I can't believe you even mentioned Wout Weghorst in that. How many times have we all brought Wout Weghorst in for a double game week and it's just one goal in 13 matches? Az, are you going to be transferring him or any other Burnley players in?
No, unfortunately. I think it's really interesting though, because the stats of Burnley is exactly what Dean and Julian's been saying. I mean, their numbers are so impressive under Mike Jackson. I mean, just to put it into context, over the season, Burnley are 15th. In terms of minutes per expected goal non-penalty, 77.6. That's risen in the last six to 49.2. So they're getting more shots, more chances. Their XG's up almost every game. They actually look like quite a good attacking side at the moment. And I do fancy them to perhaps, you know, ruffle a few feathers and score some goals in these two games. The one I actually like, weirdly enough, is the cheapest option. I think he's the cheapest option in the entire game. And that's Josh Brownhill. Who's come in for someone like me on a bench boost, for example, or looking to free up some money for the likes of Son and De Bruyne, you know, someone like him with a double game week, two double digit hauls in his last four matches, and he's playing in this kind of quite advanced attacking role for Burnley at the moment. So if you ignore the price tag, he's my thing, probably the best option in the team.
Yeah, 4.3 million for Josh Brownhill, and he has hit some form, hasn't he? Well, how things have changed. We're talking about Burnley assets, not defensively, but attacking now. So a few options there for you. A reminder also, Manchester United don't play at all in game week 37. So don't go transferring in Cristiano Ronaldo or anyone. Now though, onto some of the teams that only play once and which teams we just can't afford to ignore. Well, eight of the current top 10 in the Premier League only play once in this game week. So we've actually asked the panel to pick out some of their fixtures to analyse who could profit despite only having one game in double game week 37. Jules, you've taken a look at West Ham versus Manchester City. And I imagine most of your focus on this one is going to be for Pep Guardiola's side.
Yeah, Pep Roulette, probably. Very much so, considering, for example, that Mahrez, Jesus or Grealish didn't start the last game against Wolves. Albeit where City played so well, but do you keep the same team, which Pep rarely does, for this West Ham game? Do you rotate a little bit and change some options? I think this is more likely. Kevin De Bruyne, no need to go there. I mean, he's completely overrated anyway. So, interesting thing, because City have scored at least four goals in the last four Premier League matches. They usually do really well against West Ham. They won 12 of the last 14 in the Premier League away from home, City. So, clearly, the title is getting closer now. So I think you could expect a really strong performance from City against the West Ham team. With injuries or certainly doubts, Dawson, Benrahma, Antonio, we could see Bowen as a force number nine, which he played there before and has done well. Even a City team with also quite a lot of injuries, no Walker, no Stones, no Diaz, of course, Fernandinho and Laporte, as mentioned earlier on, both doubtful. So we could see Rodri and Ake partnership in centre-backs, for example, which would be quite interesting and quite funny. But you still expect, I think, City to be on top, even away at the London Stadium, and to put on a really good attacking performance once again, because they clearly have that kind of momentum right now.
If you were free hitting this week, Az, which players from Manchester City would you be bringing in? Which players would you advise free hitters to bring in?
It's a really tricky one, because if there are these kind of defensive issues, then it does kind of make their defence obviously less attractive. I mean, Cancelo, I wouldn't want to be without him in general. You just watch him play and he's just so advanced, you know, flying down the wing, putting in crosses, shooting all the time. I think he'd probably still be in my team no matter who City managed to put out at centre-back. And then I think it's got to be De Bruyne. You know, for me at 12 million, I think, you know, this is such an important game for City. Win this game and they've effectively sealed the league. And this is their, you know, the tougher fixture of the two they've got remaining. So I think you target those two. You've got Phil Foden as well at 7.9. But I think if you want a free hit, you pay the extra and go for the man in form.
Kill his face when you said, yeah, De Bruyne for me every day. Like, come on. Who would say? Well, yeah. Who would say?
Exactly. Who would advise him against him? It'd be ridiculous.
I am also on a free hit, and the first thing I did when I activated that chip was get Kevin De Bruyne straight in my
team.
Wait
until he blanks, because he's only going to play 15 minutes on Sunday.
I'm sure he'll blank this week, and then he'll play in game week 38 when I won't be able to get him in, and he'll get a big points haul again. It's just the way it's meant to be, isn't it? Anyway, can we move on from Kevin De Bruyne?
Please.
Let's look at Newcastle versus Arsenal, Az.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game. Now, I think if Arsenal had won that game last night, you know, it would be kind of over and this would be a bit more of a dead rubber. But there's so much riding on this game for Arsenal now. And it's a really, really tricky game for them. I mean, Newcastle have only lost 1 in 9 at home under Eddie Howe. And that was the sort of narrow home defeat against Liverpool, in which I thought they, you know, if maybe they'd been a little bit braver, they could have got something from that game. But Liverpool got the win in that. But Arsenal have a very, very good record against Newcastle. Newcastle haven't scored against them in the last seven meetings, which, you know, says a lot. But it's seven games at a clean sheet for Arsenal now as well. So I think Newcastle are going to go into this feeling that they can get something. So James's Park is going to be rocking. It's the final home game of the season. It's a horrible place to go. And I can see them getting something out of this game. I can definitely see them scoring. So, you know, owners of Aaron Ramsdale, like me, I've actually already shipped him out because I'm convinced that Newcastle are going to score in this game. And, you know, my best mate, Bruno Guimaraes, is going to get something from it.
How are you feeling about Arsenal assets at the moment, Dean? Because they've got plenty to play for. They've got to keep winning now with Spurs just a point behind them. They did well in their first double game week fixture, but it was disappointing against Spurs, the likes of Bukayo Saka and Co all blanking.
Yes, but I think the form of Nketiah, I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't choose him for the last double game week because of the form that he's shown. He's clearly full of confidence. And I know as a striker, when you get in these runs, it doesn't matter who you play, I'm sure he'll look dangerous. And I would always fancy Arsenal against teams like Newcastle, like Everton. I would always fancy Arsenal. So I wouldn't be downbeat. That's for sure. I'll be sticking with Saka because he's such a wonderful player and he scored well all season. So I would be urging people to be brave and stick with the Arsenal players that you've got. And actually, I'd even consider bringing in some other players. If you look again at their defence, will Ben White be back? Who else could maybe come in that could be a real cheaper option for a premium side? Could be something to think about too.
Okay, finally then, let's look at Spurs versus Burnley, because these Spurs options, they may only have one fixture, but if you've got Harry Kane or Son Heung-min, you aren't selling, are you?
No, and that's why I've looked at this game just to punish myself, Kelly, because I haven't got them and other people in my mini leagues have. And it's at that stage of the season where if I actually want to beat the people in and around me, I can't pick those players, those premium players that they have. So I have to look elsewhere and just pray that Kane and Son don't deliver. However, looking at this fixture, in the last three home games that Burnley have played against Tottenham, the aggregate is 10-0. And in those three games, Kane has got two assists and three goals, who is by far the best player in those games. So if you're looking at this fixture in particular, I think Kane has to be your option if you can afford, albeit Son, 10 goals in his last eight, averaging 11.63 points, which is ridiculous. And because he's only one behind Salah, again, as a forward, I can tell he's being quite greedy and selfish because he wants that golden boot. They're both great options. I'm going to be ignoring them because I have to, because of the mini leagues that I'm in. I feel like I have to be different from the other people in my leagues. I might look at Kulusevski. You know, only Son and Kane have scored more points between game week 26 and 35. So maybe he could be that little differential for me. I don't see anything else other than a decent Tottenham win. I think maybe it's an easy chance for Spurs defenders or Lloris to get a clean sheet because of Burnley's poor record away at Tottenham.
Okay, finally, just a quick word on Southampton versus Liverpool with a focus on Liverpool. A reminder that the deadline for game week 37 actually comes after Liverpool have played in the FA Cup final on Saturday. As how much will that help us with our decision making when it comes to what to do with our Liverpool players?
Yeah, I think it should, because I'm expecting there to be some rotation for that Southampton game. I think someone like Diego Jota, for example, I'm not expecting him to start in the FA Cup final. I think it's going to be the front three of Diaz, Mane and Salah, which means if you're on a free hit, you could consider going for Jota over Salah, for example. That frees up a lot of money to get the likes of De Bruyne and Son and Kane and all these other guys, if you're willing to kind of take that risk. But, you know, I think, you know, Liverpool have to think to themselves, what's going to happen with that Man City game? Because if Man City win that game, then, you know, then it's the league's almost over. So what happens in 38? So going hard and bringing in lots of Liverpool assets, it's a really tricky one because this Southampton game looks so good on paper. But if the league's done and you're going into 38 and then Liverpool have got that Champions League game, does the focus change to that? So it's a good week for free hits, I think, because you can look at that game and you can assess. And I think Jota could be a good pick for those willing to take the risk.
I'm not asking you this for obvious reasons, Kevin De Bruyne, but as it stands on my free hit jewels, I am going to get rid of and I'm saying this very slowly and almost quite quietly, I'm probably not going to have Mo Salah.
You're panicking.
Am I? I think you're crazy.
Don't panic.
Don't you say that to me as well.
No, I did on purpose. Just to paraphrase that, as one game where he scored in the last 8 Premier League games, and that was against United, and he scored 2. But clearly, there's something not right there with Salah, whether it's fitness-wise, whether it's more mental, what happened at AFCON and then missing out on the World Cup. All of that, I don't know, maybe all the games that he's played, maybe the fact that Diaz is in so good form, and so is Mane better form than him. I don't know, but I could completely understand for all the free hitters that there's no Mo Salah in the team, I have to say.
I'm waiting to see who starts in the FA Cup final on Saturday, and I'm probably going to pick whoever doesn't out of that front three. But yeah, it does feel quite scary, potentially not having the Egyptian king. Okay, well, that's our in-depth preview of Double Game Week 37. Now, though, for our panel, it's decision time. Transfers and captains end the time of the podcast where we find out a little bit more about what our panel are doing with their own teams. We've had some hints so far. Dean, you had a transfer flurry last weekend. Are we going to have the same this weekend?
Yes.
I love it.
I've got no choice. With it being a double game week, and I know that a lot of players have got an extra free chip, whether they use the free hit, whether they've got triple captain or bench boost, that is going to be a real big problem for me. So, like I said earlier, I'm going to have to take a hit. How many? I'll decide as they get closer to the games. But I'll be focusing on Zaha and Vardy to try and get those two in. I think they're two players that are excellent away from home with the games that they've got. And I think I'm going to captain Zaha. That is where I'm looking at. Because he's got such a good record recently away from home, those fixtures look promising, and he's on penalties. I think that could be the league-defining decision for me as we come into the last game week in terms of beating those people that think they know more about football than me. And so that's what I'll be doing.
I love the boldness from Dean Ashton. I just wish I was as bold as you were, to be honest. As what are your plans, transfer-wise and captaincy?
Yeah, I've already made the most boring move imaginable, which is a goalkeeper transfer. So Ramsdale is out for Pickford coming in. It just seems sensible. I just think, you know, with those two home games for Pickford, I think I want to cover that Everton defence, which means I'm triple Everton going into 37, which is, a bit worrying. And at the moment, the captaincy armband is on Richarlison. So triple Everton and a captaincy on Richarlison. What could possibly go wrong with Frank Lampard's team? But the other decision is with the bench boost, really, because, you know, all jokes aside, that bench does not inspire me too much. So it's whether I use extra transfers to strengthen that. But I'm not finding it easy because there's not a whole host of double game week options that I can afford quickly. If I could do Gomez to Zaha, for example, I'd be all over that. I think Zaha's a fantastic option this week. If I could do Huang up to a Watkins or an Ings, I'd do that, but I can't in one move. So, you know, do I take kind of -8s, -12s for these players? I think probably not. I think I'd probably just write the bench boost off this week, take the kind of 8 points that I likely get from it and try and set myself up for 38.
Have you learned nothing from Dean Ashton? -16, you got over 100 points with his bench boost in this game week. I also took a -4 last week and I got 23 points, I think it was, on my bench. I also played my bench boost last week. So don't write off the bench boost as.
One final thing is one team we haven't mentioned is Brighton. I obviously got the Brighton bias as a Brighton fan. But they're playing a Leeds team. They're absolutely decimated at the moment. Injuries, suspensions, they're really struggling down the bottom of the league. Brighton, on the other hand, absolutely flying. Best performance I've ever seen them against United. You know, thumping win in that. And I think, you know, the likes of Welbeck, Trossard, Cucurella, these are other guys that I'm considering on the bench boost because I think we could win that game fairly comfortably at Elland Road.
I should have known. I mentioned that he had a slightly disappointing game week on the same week that Brighton thrashed Manchester United. So, of course, he had to get that in a final section of the podcast. Jules, we'll round off this podcast by hearing what you're going to be doing with your team.
Yeah, so triple captain for Richarlison. Hoping for the best. Hoping for the best. You never know with him. He had, you know, not point return in the last game, but he had the two previous games, 5 and 8. So I'm hoping that it can come good for those two home games that we said, Brentford and Crystal Palace. And then I thought about Pickford as well and double up on Everton players. There might be other options I'm looking at, but the big one is the triple captain for Richarlison.
this game week feels like it could be another one with some huge swings, with all of these different differential captaincy picks and transfers and chips in play once again. Well, Jules, Dean, Az, thank you so much for joining me. Really enjoyed that this week. And thank you to everyone who has listened as well. Next week, just a reminder, we'll be back on Friday again because there are three games on Thursday night and the deadline, which will actually be the final deadline of the season, will again be on Sunday. Don't forget your deadline this week is also Sunday, 10:30 a.m. UK time. You can also check out fantasy.premierleague.com for more help and tips, and enjoy the penultimate game week. Bye-bye.